Father, we just come before you, Lord. And Lord, as we learn to walk in the authority that you have given us, Lord, we just pray that you would teach us your ways. We have ears to hear. We have eyes to see in the Spirit. We want the mind of the Spirit, Lord God, as we learn how to walk in the authority that you've given us. So, Lord, let us just really, really learn by your Holy Spirit how to be true men and women, sons and daughters of God, walking in his power and his anointing. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're talking about authority. So I'm going to do this teaching out of the book of John, and we're going to look at Jesus walking in his authority. So let's start in John 5, and we're going to go ahead and start right about verse 5. A certain man, being in infirmity 38 years, was there. Seeing him lying and knowing that he had already spent much time, Jesus said to him, "Do you desire to become well?" The infirm one answered him, "Lord, I do not have a man that when the water is stirred, that he may throw me into the pool. But while I am coming, another goes down before me." So this is the situation where they had the pool of healing, and when the angel stirred the water, and we don't really understand all that. I just think there probably was something God was doing prophetically, and the first one in was healed. Whether that was true or suspicion or God really did that, the word doesn't say. Jesus doesn't dispute the man and say, "That isn't of me." So, but we see that this man has been there year after year, wanting his moment, 38 years, wanting to get in that pool to be healed. So Jesus says to him, "Rise up, take up your cot and walk." And instantly the man became well, took up his cot and walked, and it was on the Sabbath day. The Jews said to the one having been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to lift up the cot." He answered them, "The one making me well, that one, said to me, 'Lift up your cot and walk.'" Then they said to him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Lift up your cot and walk?'" But he did not know the one who cured him, for a crowd being in that place, Jesus had withdrawn. After these things, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Now sin no more, so that a worse thing not happen to you." And I want you to see something here. There is a connection between sin and sickness. So we need to really go after the Lord whenever we're sick or struggling with sickness and say, "Lord, would you please get any sin out of my heart? If there's any blatant sin, Lord, and if you're walking in blatant sin, the minute you're attacked by the enemy with sickness, it is certainly a great time to hate that sin and turn from it. It'd be better to do it even before that. But sometimes it's attitude sin. Sometimes it's ancestral sin. So we just really need to go before the Lord and realize if sickness comes, there can be a sin link. And let's get over judging each other about that. Let's just, when we're attacked with sickness, go directly to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, if there's any sin in my heart that's opened the way for the enemy to attack me, please reveal that to me." So Jesus is speaking the spiritual law to this man. He's revealing to this man, "Look, I came and I healed you. You wanted to be healed. I healed you instantly. Now, if you don't want to be sick, if you don't want the sickness to come back on you, go and sin no more." And so that's a spiritual law we need to all embrace. We have that on our teaching on healing. We have from a conference on healing, we have a series on that that you can get in the bookstore. Okay, so he goes on, he says, and look what it says, "Sin no more that a worse thing not happen to you." So once you've been healed, the enemy, if he can get back in because you continue in sin, you could end up in worse shape. So that's another reason not just to pray for people without preaching the gospel, not just to pray for people to be healed without explaining to them like Jesus did, "Look, sin opened the door for this, and you need to not sin, and you need to quit this kind of sin." And so let's not play games here. Let's read what the word says. It's time for everybody to be real about what, if Jesus said it, he's the cornerstone of everything we're to believe. He's the foundation of everything we're to believe. If he says that to a person as he heals them, we know that that is truth. And we know that sin and sickness are connected. And we know that if you continue in your sin, even if Jesus heals you, even an evangelist or a prophet or someone anointed prays for you and you get healed, if you're playing around in sin, you could end up worse. So it's important to preach that. It's important to teach that. I love that about Jesus. He was very straight. You know, he just said it the way it was, and he didn't apologize for it. And he also didn't shame the person. He didn't condemn the person. He just spoke the truth in love so that this person could deal with that sin issue. All right, so he goes on. The man went away and told the Jews, verse 15, John 5:15, that Jesus is the one making him well. And because of this, the Jews persecuted Jesus and lusted to kill him because he did these things on a Sabbath. Now, we're looking at self-righteousness here to the max, aren't we? Here is a man who was sick for 38 years. Now, here are the leaders of the church who are supposed to have compassion, supposed to reveal Christ, supposed to teach and help people get free. And instead of rejoicing with this man that God healed him, they're concerned that God did it and broke what they thought was a rule that nobody could be healed on the Sabbath. And they're so upset with it that they actually want to kill Christ. And we have a teaching, I don't know if it's out yet, it should be out soon, but the Lord showed me in the scriptures that when you have self-righteousness, if you look at the teaching Jesus did, the parable of the man who came to the temple, and he said, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector, I'm glad I'm not like this person, and he despised them in his heart. And despise means to really hate or to put at a lower place, not be able to stand. And God showed me self-righteousness will open us up to a spirit of despising. And then we get, we think it's righteous anger, but it's really a hatred towards someone who is not following what we consider to be, righteousness or the right things to do things. So God's really stripping that from our hearts. Okay, so we see Jesus here. He obviously didn't have that despising thing. He was talking to this man in love. He wasn't talking out of self-righteousness. He was talking out of righteousness because he is righteousness. All right, but the Pharisees and these Jewish leaders, the church leaders of that day, the synagogue leaders, they came and they were self-righteous. And it's like, wait, he broke our rule. And they hated him. So self-righteousness will cause you to hate people who don't understand the gospel the way you understand it, who don't see things. So some of you need to get that out of your heart so you can have authority to believe for your unsaved loved ones, for your children, for spouses, for parents, for people that you've judged instead of loved. And God wants us to get that out of our hearts so we can see people come to the kingdom. Okay. So they actually wanted to kill Jesus because he healed someone on the Sabbath. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father works until now and I work. He wasn't intimidated by self-righteousness. He wasn't intimidated by these Pharisees trying to use their wrong understanding of God and his word to try to belittle Jesus. He stood up and said, my Father works until now and I work. Because of this, therefore, the Jews lusted even more to kill him, for not only did he break the Sabbath, but he called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. So to the Jews, when someone says this is our God is our Father, Jesus was declaring that he was the Messiah, that he and God were one. And so when we say that God is our Heavenly Father, when we say that to other religions or to people, Muslim faith, or they cannot see God, this holy, awesome, powerful God, as the Father. But we have to see that he lives inside of us by his Spirit, so he sees us as one. Now, we're not equal to God, but we have God in us, which makes us the sons of God, the sons and the daughters of God. It's a powerful truth. It's not religion. It will make every religious person angry that you would think that you are God's child. And we need to die to everything of the flesh so that we can really reveal Christ. Because God does live inside of us, and it's time for the world to know that. It's time that we walk in the authority and the boldness that Jesus Christ walked in. He wasn't ashamed of being the Son of God. He wasn't ashamed of declaring who God was. And we need to quit watering down the gospel and preach it the way that it really is, by the anointing of God, by the authority of God, by his Spirit in us, the same way that Jesus Christ revealed truth. It says, so they wanted to kill him now because not only did he heal on the Sabbath, but he called God his Father. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, which when he says that, he means, I mean this. I say to you, the Son is not able to do anything from himself except what he may see the Father doing. For whatever the one does, these things also the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows to him all things which he does. And he will show him greater works than these in order that you may marvel. For even as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wills. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. The one not honoring the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes the one who has sent me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, that an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones hearing will live. For even as the Father has life in himself, so he gave also to the Son to have life in himself. And he also gave authority to him, to the Son, to execute judgment, for he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, which all those in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come out, the ones having done good, into a resurrection of life, and the ones having practiced evil, into a resurrection of judgment. I am able to do nothing from myself. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, for I do not seek my will, but the will of the one sending me, the Father. All right, boy, he says a lot right there, doesn't he? I believe this is the key understanding of authority. There are so many people who declare Bible promises and they don't come to pass. How many? You know, we've all heard somebody declaring somebody was going to live and they didn't live. They died of a disease. Right now, we have a prophetic move where everyone's decreeing things. They found some Old Testament scripture about decreeing things. And now it's like we get to be God and pick whatever we want to decree, whatever we want to say. Well, I'm thankful God doesn't do it that way, because it would sure be a mixed up world with all the different believers decreeing whatever they want to decree. And making declarations of things that they don't know all of the situation. The reason that we can only speak what the Father speaks and have authority in the areas that God reveals to us is because we cannot even move into this kind of authority if we're still eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree where we make judgments based on what we see. That tree is the whole corruption of mankind taking the position of God. And because that tree is still alive in the body of Christ, unfortunately, we still believe that we can make the judgments, that we can decree the decrees, that we can say what we say and it has to happen. And by now, people ought to wake up and say, that's not working. And I say, thank God it's not working, because I believe that God is the only one who knows really what should happen and shouldn't happen. I can't imagine all of us running around playing God with no idea of the spiritual laws, no idea of what's going on in the heavenlies, no idea of what this person would do if they continued to live, or who would walk away from God, or what would happen. Do you know? The fear of the Lord is to say, God, I don't even know. You know, Paul says, I know nothing. When he matured, he finally said, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I understand the cross. I understand that Jesus made a way for us to get to heaven, that Jesus made a way for all the sins to go to the cross. So what Jesus is saying here is, the reason that I know that I can speak healing over this man and have the authority to do that even on the Sabbath is because the Father showed me to do that. And he's God. Now, how do we know if somebody's speaking with the authority of the Father? It happens. Okay, it happens. So if you decreed something, stood on a promise, said things, whatever, and it didn't happen, guess what? You didn't have the authority. Many times we say, oh, they didn't have the faith. No, you're the one saying it and decreeing it. If you're saying it, Jesus didn't say, in this situation, the man had to have faith. There are times when God requires that the person has faith. There's other times when they didn't even know who he was. There's times he was moved with compassion. God just so wanted to intervene. He knew everything about the situation, and he wanted to bring healing. He wanted to bring wholeness. And so that authority was released when the heart of God and the heart of man filled with the Spirit of God are in agreement, full of compassion, love, and mercy, and just moves in and brings healing. Then there's the authority of two people asking, believing for something. We'll get into that later. There's these spiritual laws that bring this authority. But the key to all authority is doing what the Father is revealing. So we have to know the Lord, and we have to go deep into the heart of God. We have to really understand Jesus. We have to know when we see Jesus according to the Word, we see the Father. So when we see Jesus and we see the Father and we're hearing the Holy Spirit, who is revealing the heart of the Father, revealing the Son of Man, revealing Jesus, then whatever He releases in our spirit that's really from Him, we're going to have authority to speak. So what's the real key to authority? The real key to authority is knowing God. The real key to authority is walking with God. The key to authority in our life is the same authority that Jesus had. He and the Father were one. He walked with God. See, the most awesome thing that many times is not really even talked about that much in the body of Christ is this is really all about God inside of us. This is not about us. Jesus said, I could do nothing except what the Father showed me. I tell people, when you're praying for somebody in a wheelchair, did the Father show you that? Because if He did, that person's going to get out of the wheelchair. If not, you may just humiliate that person. Maybe you're doing it because just in case it works, you're going to look good. God wants us to have the real, real compassion, the real authority. We don't have to work it up. We don't have to see how loud we can yell. We don't have to scream. Many times, you know, somebody will come up and ask for prayer and get healed. It wasn't based on our authority. It was based on their faith. They really were led of the Holy Spirit to come and be healed. You know, we've really seen powerful healings in this ministry. But it's nothing close to what I'm believing we're going to see in the apostolic. I really want to understand this authority. I really want to walk in this authority. I've personally known when I've operated in the authority of God. When I was in the Philippines, and I didn't know anything politically. I'm just not involved in thinking about what's going on in the world. It's just not my thing. So it's really easy for God to use me. I mean, I just yield because I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And so we're in the Philippines, and all of a sudden I begin to prophesy that they could not take the land, that the land was not going to be given to the Muslims. And we're in Zamboanga, and there was a meeting of governmental people right directly in the room across from where we were having the crusade. We were having the crusade out on these, like a deck, about 600 or 700 people. And you actually had to walk through that room, through the hotel, to get to the deck. Now, I know that God set that up. Had I known the hotel was going to be full of Muslims negotiating for land and Muslims who have been known to do bombings and things in Zamboanga, were there meeting in the same hotel that I was in. Here they hired bodyguards for me to keep me safe, to keep me front, and I'm right in the middle of it. We got to witness to the bodyguards, and that was exciting. But I'm telling you, this is a God adventure. This isn't trying to figure this stuff out in your head. You just end up where He wants you to end up, and you just say what He wants you to say. And even then, not really knowing the impact it was making in the heavenly realm that God did. So we declared what the Lord put on my heart to say. I prophesied it. It went forth. And a few years later, when they were about to sign that land over to the Muslims, just recently in 2009, they were about to, actually it was before Christmas, so it was like 2008 or whatever, they were about to sign that over, and a mayor that we had seen at that same time that we went to the Philippines, that time was the first time we ever went, we prayed over this mayor who didn't even think he would be in office any longer, and we prophesied over him that he would not give up the land, with me really not even knowing what any of it meant, to be honest with you. Well, we find out when we go back to the Philippines a year later, this year, because that was all a year or so ago, that they were negotiating for the land down to it being signed. And the mayor that we didn't even know was still in office, because when we saw him, he said, I won't be in office. There's no way I'm going to win this next election. We prayed he'd win, but being people of such strong faith, we didn't believe he'd actually win. You know, God is so cool. You know, he doesn't, it's like the Lord just wants us to kind of get out of the way so he can do his God thing on this planet, you know? And so anyway, so that mayor who was afraid to stand up, and we prophesied for him to get a backbone and stand up, he's the one who stopped them from signing land. He found out it was illegal according to their Supreme Court. And I'm talking about mid-negotiation. I mean, I'm talking hours away from it being a done deal. He stopped it as being unconstitutional. And there were people who were murdered then. We were going into town right then. It was a couple pastors were murdered. They had all kinds of bombings and stuff because people were upset. But God still did what God was going to do. He stopped them from turning part of the Philippines over to Muslim rule. Now, I don't live there. I don't get that involved in politics. Isn't that amazing? That God would just take somebody who will yield and say what God puts in their mouth to say, and then it comes to pass for a whole nation. It's amazing. We got to quit trying to be anybody important and just know that the one who is important lives inside of us. And then we'll open ourselves up to be used by God for his glory. What's being used by God? Yielding. So true authority comes as you hear God and allow what he is saying to come forth, or do what he shows you to do. Just like Jesus, who was God, but totally yielded to the Holy Spirit, because he was God in flesh. He did not yield to his flesh. He did not yield to his senses. He did not yield to the flesh part of him, but he completely, completely stayed in tune to God, to his Father.